We're going to talk a little bit about something that's actually not in the paper this week, but it is related to some things that are in the paper this week. You may have read my story on Ron Leach, who has departed from the fire department after 40 years, well, 36 in the chief role, and that's what he's stepping down from. He'll still be volunteering. And you may have read Megan Tackett's story on English in Action. In both, you might have noticed in there a little note on volunteerism and how it's kind of difficult to get people to take some time out of their busy lives to participate in things on a pro bono basis, right? Some of us have two jobs, a lot of us have a lot of obligations, and nobody has sort of seen the effects of that more than the folks at Dandelion Market. We attended a meeting last night that Dandelion Market put together to discuss the possibility of shutting down entirely, and while they haven't made that call, we do have a couple of folks here in the radio station to discuss just what's going on there. It's been a rough 10 years, and happy 10 years, by the way, guys.
It's been 10 years that the co-op's been going?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And so in the studio with us, we have Richard Vitero.
Hello.
And Jason White.
Hi there.
And of course, Amy Haddon Marsh.
Hello.
Our master of ceremonies. So we're gonna chat with them, and we have somebody maybe sneaking in.
Looks like Flash is here.
So anyway, we have a full studio. This is a call-in show, so try not to interrupt right in the middle of somebody's conversation. But if you have something to add or some ideas about what might benefit Dandy Market, give us a call, 963-2976. Amy, I'm turning it over to you.
Oh, great. Well, Richard and Flash, Felicia Trevor is here, and Jason White. You know, you guys had this meeting, and just a little self-disclosure before we start out. Both Will and I are members of the co-op. The meeting last night was to discuss whether to dissolve the co-op and sort of shutter the operation, or if that didn't happen, then to kind of put together some changes that need to be made. And so I kind of would like to start off with it wasn't dissolved, but there are some hurdles that the co-op needs to get over before August, which is when the lease runs out. So could you guys talk about what those waypoints are?
I like the meeting for that very reason. Is it got out in a whole piece to more people than just those involved in running the store? What, where we are physically, financially, and, energetically in a way. And so for that reason, it was a really good meeting. And, you know, I feel energized by what took place there.
Yeah, me too.
Energized.
Well, yeah, one of the perennial things in this store, 6 months old, is we are short of working members. Because there's a lot to do in a store. In the other store, we had approximately 18 to 20 working members. And it was very interesting to see among that working member group, they worked together to make their shift. It was as though it was its own little society. You know, the management was informed, Avatar and Lisa were informed that there was going to be some shifts around. And sometimes there wasn't time to do that, and the shifts were filled. So that was that many people. Now we have 8 good, solid working members, you know, or more than that. But if cashiers is people to work right in the store is what's really required.
Mm-hmm. Could you take a step back, Richard, and just kind of describe for folks who may not have been in or may not be members, just how it works? I mean, how is it structured? I believe you have one paid staff member?
Yes. Yeah, it's all run by people who step up to do the different jobs of the store. And it's a co-op model. And so we have members and supposedly dividends. I mean, there's probably some stores. There's big city co-ops that run, and I'm sure people get dividends, and they probably have more paid employees. But starting out, you know, the other store, we had 2 paid employees, and then later on, we ended up with a lot more of employees and fewer working members. And we got to see that model isn't sustainable with the amount of groceries that has to go through the size of the location. Mm-hmm. And so we're renewing our co-op model for now because that's what we know. We know that that's going to work because it really worked in the past. The market has been profitable a bit. Yeah.
Well, and you know, I remember that somebody brought up at the meeting last night that yes, it did work in the past. That was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Now there's Whole Foods in the Valley. There's a lot of competition. How do you think that's sort of the issue here, or is there a bigger issue of volunteerism or something else I may not even be aware of?
Well, it's interesting to note that we knew something that was going to take place when Whole Foods went in. Vitamin Cottage was already there, and 2 months we really noticed. And interestingly enough, after those 2 months, we began to come out pretty strongly. It surprised us all. So, you know, and then from there, we've had a lot of good months, you know, where we had some money to put away.
What are some things, I mean, if you haven't been in the store, that you guys offer that may be either different from Whole Foods or at least different from City Market that you can get here in Carbondale that people express surprise at?
Okay, well, that is the crux of it, I think, is that, and what I think people are so passionate about, you know, in Carbondale, that we want to shop for local meats and local produce.
Local honey,
right? And local dairy and eggs and that are organic. And we really are the best place for that. Vitamin Cottage has some somewhat local meats, you know, and they are organic, but that's all we carry. And you don't have to, in Whole Foods, when you go in Whole Foods, you have to look at every single item. Is it organic or not? You know, you walk up to something, it looks really good, and then when you look at, oh, it's not organic. And you don't have to think about it in our store. And the other thing that we have is CBDs.
What's a CBD?
It's hemp. Or
like an extract of hemp.
Or cannabis-based, okay. Mm-hmm. But non-psychotropic.
Okay.
And we have like some tinctures for stress and for pain and for, arthritis. And they're flying out the door. Mm-hmm. Salve too, mm-hmm. That from Basalt Mountain Hemp Company. Mm-hmm. So those are things that you can't get at City Market or Whole Foods. And I think that there just needs to be a lot more awareness and a lot more pitching in from other people in the cooperative.
Well, there's some pretty big problems with the co-op right now. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard last night it's like $30,000 to $40,000 in mm-hmm. debt. And that there has not been much movement on that since the co-op moved into its new location.
Well, the movement is that we've paid down from a higher debt. We've had a bit of a higher debt from that, so now we're at 40.
What was your higher debt?
50.
Okay.
Oh,
55.
Cool. So there is,
okay, so there is some.
So we have been paying, part of that debt is vendors.
Right.
And another piece of it is that we... It costs money to change stores, to get out of our old one and then get into the new one. There's plumbing, electrical. We had refrigerator go down and different things like that, right? Currently, we have a refrigerator down, and it has parts to come. It's, you know, it's kind of nuts. But at the same time, we have been, we're once again viable, I think, to keep going to have really good days. The other store, we, you know, our top day might have been $3,200, which is a pretty good day. And so here we're between $850 and $11, and sometimes more. So those are good for the square footage that we have, because mm-hmm. we're less than half the size of what we were.
I hate to be devil's advocate, Richard.
No, please.
But you say that the co-op is viable. Yet last night's meeting, one of the issues was we might dissolve.
Sure.
To me, when you say it's almost viable, yet there was this big issue of possibly closing down.
Well, two of the reasons that are solvable that we may dissolve are working members, sufficiently staffing the store so we can take care of the store's requirements and expand in product availability. And the other piece is the board has been perennially short. We have, you know, the last store got down to Erica and myself. She asked me to come on the board when Emily White was still there. And we worked together for quite a while. And then we told Emily, she'd been here for 4 years. She should, you know, because she had done a bunch. So then it was down to Erica and myself. And with a lot of really amazing spontaneous help, we got out of that store in time. Mm-hmm. Didn't have to have any storage because we had a couple of people offer trailers that we could park. And we even parked one in a garage with our cold goods and grains, you know, cool goods. And it was there for a month in a garage staying cool. Mm-hmm. So we've had a lot of breaks to get here, but those are those pieces. So last night we had, you know, people come on the board. We had two people come on the board.
So what
Jason,
I'm...
Jason, can we get with Jason real quick? Did you want to say something?
So I was going to add that one of the big shifts that I'm seeing, because you're asking about there's definitely some headwinds that the co-op has had over the years. And so there's about 600 members of the co-op. And so one thing to keep in mind that's really important is that this has been a grassroots community effort from the very beginning when it was a buying club out of someone's garage up the Crystal probably 15 years ago. And then it's been a storefront for 10 to 12 years probably. And so just like with any volunteer or committee ran by committee effort, there's ups and downs and lefts and rights. And so some of the debt that remains out there, we do obviously have to pay attention to it because it's part of the solvency of the business. We kind of got down to this meeting last night where the board members were frankly starting to get a little burnout or maybe a little disillusioned of like, how are we going to make this happen? So every time that we go back and ask the members, then it's really up to the vote of the members because everyone owns the store. And so the members keep voting to keep it open and let's give it a try. And so it's just like with every effort, we don't really have the crystal ball. We think that we have probably, I saw 30 or 35 people sign their name on the board for something last night. And yeah, we definitely need an influx of some donations, working members, people just stopping by the store to say, hey, how can I help you guys out? You know, there's a lot of like grassroots community stuff to keep this thing going. I think that one thing that we have going for us right now is the location next to Rumah Girls. So just by the way, that's when we talk about the new store, that's on 133 by Rumah Girls across from Wells Fargo Bank. And we're working on a really nice, beautifully locally designed sign to make it a little easier to find us. And that location's amazing because it's like a totally different demographic than we are getting downtown.
Talk about that.
So it's a little bit more of people that are kind of bopping somewhere else, running errands or something. When you're downtown, I feel like that, at least myself, I'm in a different mindset and I'm kind of ambling more. And I just kind of maybe stop by the co-op and talk to someone for a while. And the new location on 133 is a little bit more exact. And so people are coming there to get groceries.
It's a destination.
It's more of a destination. And also on the flip side, being next to the liquor store, which by the way, Matt, have been amazing. They are the landlords. So they're giving us extremely great rate on rent at this current location. Mm-hmm. So without them, we would probably not be exactly where we are with this great location. So they are not only some of the best shoppers and customers, but they're big advocates of it. Mm-hmm. So people will come over and stop in and get wine, and maybe they want to get some olives or some cheese and crackers or something to go with it. So it's this co-use, it's this, this I guess,
there's
co-use. Synthesis. Of,
there's yeah. some synergy there, sure. Mm-hmm. And then the laundromat behind, so mm-hmm. we get people coming in and out.
And so I think that, you know, what we decided last night as a group, and once again, this was like 30, you know, maybe 40 something people in the room of somewhere between 500 and 600 members. So we definitely have some work to reach out to the other folks, right? And that's a big part of the marketing committee. Mm-hmm. What I heard last night is that it was a resounding yes to keep the doors open. And so, you know, we have to just go with what the membership wants to do of keep it going. And there was a lot of serious talk about we have to pay this debt back because these mm-hmm. are local farmers, local vendors. And so we decided we put some guideposts out there, and Bob Schultz did a great job of moderating for us last night. And he had a great idea of that. The best thing for us to do is we have all this great energy, right? But what happens when some of that starts to fall away? So 2 months out, we have guideposts of, we check in on those, and we agreed that if we're not hitting certain measurements or guideposts, then we need to maybe call the question to dissolve again.
And so, what are those guideposts? What are you looking to achieve in that 2 month period?
Well, Richard and Flash jump in, but I'll just, one I thought of was that we need to start paying back the local vendors for sure. And some of them are not extremely local. I mean, we have vendors depending on the season, you know, with some organics out of California and what have you. But so one of them is definitely really, you know, getting into paying back our local debt. Mm-hmm. Richard, we
pay back some of our really smaller people just right in this area, you know, maybe like 500 miles or something like that. That's kind of local in that respect. But we also got Infusion on the board, which is a big help. And a thing that's been required to be done for a while, and it's just the manpower to do it, and that's goes through the membership list and see where we actually are with that. And a critical piece then after that is we have Josie to do some, you know, modern marketing with there's all, you know, sorts of things we've, you know, cared to get involved in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard an Instagram mentioned as a possibility.
And just have a
update
better presence and a better connection.
Website.
Mm-hmm. But also making sure that Terry, the manager, feels good in a couple months that the members, I mean the working members, really step up and really start to help her run the store so she can do some of the things that she really wants to mm-hmm. do or hasn't been able to get to, like marketing.
Well, it sounds like she's been doing everything.
Yeah.
Superstar.
So this, you say that this is 2 months. I understood that it was until August, but the lease is up in August.
The lease is up in August. We decided that we don't want to wait until the very, very end of the lease, that we need to have the conversation again in 2 months to where we're staying ahead of it. Mm-hmm. And Terry Ritchie, the general manager, she's the only paid staff right now, except for a little bit of bookkeeping. She was at the meeting and we asked her, several people asked her, what do you need? Or what do you see happening? Because if she gets sick, literally we would have to right now probably put up a sign that says closed temporarily or whatever. Mm-hmm. So she came up with some great ideas because she's ran a business for many years, and she's expressed interest of bringing in some new added value products and homemade local soups.
What's an added value product for people who don't know?
More of like a kind of a quick grab lunch. So taking like bulk meat, for example, like, you know, local meat, and shaving off some of it like you would in a deli and mm-hmm. making a sandwich out of it, and then putting it with some potato salad, and then you all of a sudden have a quick grab lunch.
Well, something that I wanted to ask last night and couldn't find a way in is the store in town used to have lunch, used to serve lunch, and that was shut down.
Well, what happens?
Do you need a health
To do department certificate? Hot foods, you have to have a hood.
Right.
And a fire extinguisher system.
Right.
And that was lacking in the old location. Mm-hmm. And we can get a license from the state to do cold foods.
Oh, okay.
And
great.
Cold prep and package.
Well, before we go any further, I just want to remind listeners that you're listening to KDNK. This is the Everything Under the Sun. I almost said Here Comes the Sun Show. Everything Under the Sun. It's 419. I'm here. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh. I'm here with Will Grandbois, editor of The Sun.
Howdy.
Felicia Trevor, Jason White, and Richard Votero. And we're talking about the situation facing Dandelion Market or the Carbondale Community Co-op.
And you know, thanks, Amy. And what we've been talking about here, if you're just tuning in, is sort of the meeting that happened last night to discuss the possibility of dissolving the co-op. As Richard said, it has not been, that was not the decision. There was kind of a resounding decision to keep it running. There have been some specific metrics put out in the future to say we need to hit these. And one thing that Jason mentioned is we've sort of been, we've been watching this kind of boom and bust of a big...
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, well, I think I took that from you, Amy. And of a big groundswell of support, you get more volunteers in, you get more people in the store, things are going well for a while, and then it's hard to keep that momentum going, and you find yourself in a position where Terry Anzini is struggling with doing everything, and you can't keep the doors open, and the hours are struggling. Do you see, did last night feel different? I guess that's the question I have for you guys. Do you think it's the cycle is broken, or... is there the risk that we're heading back there again in 6 months?
Well, it did to me because I felt the enthusiasm of people committing to become involved. And that is kind of a renewable at the co-op is, you know, people who will come in there and do carry the piece that creates the store. Mm-hmm. And the wonderful thing about that is there's a lot of expertise in our community in all these different areas. And yes, we require good cashier help and keeping the store going. But also there's all these other pieces that those get fulfilled.
Like what?
Well, like the IT, you know, that and membership list, some advertising. Because we've mused about these things in our board meeting. And when there's just three or four of us, and all of us are pretty busy people, it just doesn't get to happen. So
you're saying that volunteers are needed to sort of come step up and do these things. Jason?
We definitely need, you know, more working members. And so just to clarify, you can volunteer at the store and not necessarily be a working member. Being a working member gives you actual ownership in the store. As I mentioned earlier, there's 500 to 600 members. So this organization, it's unique. It's, as Will mentioned, you know, it's a co-op model. And so it's very intentful of keeping it that way. There was discussion last night of shifting the business model to either 501c3 nonprofit. A lot of the feedback was that there's already a lot of those in the Valley asking for money. And then if you go to just a private business, that's a completely different conversation because then you would have one or two owners that are ultimately responsible. They purchase it and run it like an actual for-profit market, like City Market or something like that. So I just wanted to clarify that this is an intentful model that everyone wants to keep alive. And two things that I see that are major perks about the current setup is there have been really motivated board members that have really wrapped their hands around the financials. So we actually can measure what we actually have done wrong and need to improve on. We actually know that very well
now.
Can you
talk about that a little bit?
Well, just tracking that 40,000 number that we keep mentioning of this debt. And just,
when did that breakdown happen in terms of kind of losing track of?
You know, I think it came down to priorities of not having enough staff to mind all these business practices. So the last couple managers we had have been working their tails off to just keep the doors open and have a smiley face at the front door and keep the stock going and all that. So some of the other things like QuickBooks and point of sale system, those hadn't really existed. Well, we now have those systems in place that came in place in the last maybe year or two. That is a huge shift because we can measure everything and we actually know kind of what the losses are now on the produce, which is almost zero, by the way, and that's
great.
Unheard of with grocery. So I think that great question that you have of like, well, how is this different? Are we going to be sitting here talking about this again in August of closing? I don't really know. I hope not, and I really am optimistic that we got some traction last night, and I think we can get more by actually marketing and being better about. And thank you to Soper Sun and Katie and Kay too, because that's really amazing marketing for the Dandelion Market as well.
Well, we have just a few minutes left, and I'm wondering if we should just say, I mean, what do you guys need? You know, you're on the air right now. You have an opportunity to speak to people. What is it that you need from the community?
Well, one of the things we found directly at the meeting last night was some working members, new expertise, and then also the community piece is come and shop, come and...
The doors are still open.
Doors are, yeah, and lights are on and off and on and off. And anyway, and request products to see how the product mix may fit your shopping style. That's a piece of it. And really, we look forward to being able to provide some ready-to-go foods, some cold foods, a few pre-prepped things, because, you know, we found at the other store that lunch was pretty popular.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about this location is we have a lot of foot traffic because there's a crossing of the highway there, and the bike path goes by, but there's a tremendous amount of traffic and exposure on 133, and then the liquor store is busy.
Mm-hmm. Flash?
Well, we created a marketing committee last night, but I mean, what really makes me sad is how little people know that we're there. And every time I work, because I'm a regular weekly volunteer, mm-hmm. Somebody comes in and says, wow, I didn't realize you were here. Wow. Or I just finally got it over here, you know. And so we really have to get it in people's consciousness, in people's daily patterns to come in. Because Terry is doing an amazing job mm-hmm. for the amount of space we have. She is putting some great mm-hmm. products in there, and if they don't work out, she gets new ones, and you know, it's just amazing.
What are the hours?
Right now we're on winter hours, okay. And that's noon to six, and at eliminate we changed sat we were closed on Saturday we're now Sunday. Open on we're closed now on Saturday and open on Sunday as winter hours.
So Sunday through Friday, noon to six?
Yes.
Oh.
And, Jason?
Yeah, I would just jump in to plug that you asked what we needed, and to add on to what Richard and Flash said, we need more fresh energy and people to join the board that has specific talents, or if they just have willingness to learn new talents. And we also need people that are members of the co-op to really step up right now and stop by the store, go to the Facebook page. As everyone knows in Facebook world, that you can put a comment out there and basically have free marketing, you know, within seconds. And so just keep checking that. I wouldn't say call the store. I don't want to overwhelm, you know, the people working the cash register.
But if somebody wants to say, you know, somebody's listening and they think, gosh, you know, I could really help with marketing or IT, how do they get in touch with somebody?
I would say the best way to do that is through the Facebook page. For right now.
And stopping by the store, because okay. Terry's in there a lot, and she can really, you know, talk about what's required, but also where you could fit in pretty quickly.
Okay.
And some of those things could be short time. Mm-hmm. You know, like our membership for a while, that's going to be intense. And once that's kind of straightened out, then can move on.
Are you planning on changing the membership dues?
Those are later questions, okay. Yes.
Well, our time has come to an end. Mm-hmm. Really want to thank Jason White, Richard Votero, and Felicia Trevor Flash, our own Flash, and Will Grandbois for being a part of the Everything Under the Sun show today and clarifying some of the things that are going on with the Dandelion Market.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Stay tuned for Valley Voices.